This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.
Hi, this is Mary Grady for AvWeb. Last week, the effort to change the FAA rules regarding medical certificates for private pilots moved in a new direction as a bill was introduced in Congress for an updated Pilot's Bill of Rights. The bill would allow private pilots to fly without a medical certificate in aircraft up to 6,000 pounds with up to 5 passengers, up to 14,000 feet under IFR, and up to 250 knots. I'm talking with Jack Pelton, the chairman at EAA, for his take on the new proposal.
From an EAA perspective, we have been fighting very, very long and hard to move the FAA in a direction to consider eliminating the need for a third-class medical for certain types of airplanes and flight operations that we believe is vital in one, stemming the loss of pilots that are saying it's just too difficult and too costly to continue to fly, and then two, hopefully making also that lowering the barrier of entry, hopefully creating new pilots and aviation enthusiasts. And we've made good progress with the FAA in thinking that way, and they've actually created a notice of public rulemaking that would go out for public comment, but it has yet to get cleared through the Department of Transportation for public comment. And in the meantime, I think Congress is sending a strong signal with the Pilot's Bill of Rights 2 that's just been announced by the House and the Senate that their impatience is to the point where they want to legislate this elimination of the Class 3 medical, and they've defined what categories of airplanes and flying conditions, and they're moving forward with the legislation with bipartisan support both in the House and the Senate, and we hope that we'll get a bill passed here shortly.
Oh, so is there any kind of timeline on that? Like how long do you think something like that would take?
Well, it's hard to put a timeline on it. The process is the House and Senate both have what are essentially are identical bills. They both have signed on senators and congressmen who are supporting it from both parties. And the Senate has actually signed on over 12 members of the Senate. So it's gaining some momentum and strong support. The timing we don't know is what does it take to get it to the floor for an actual vote? And then once the vote occurs, what they do is they marry up the two bills and make sure that the language is the same and it becomes law. I'm eagerly and anxiously hoping that in the next 30 days we'll have a bill that's been voted on.
Oh, okay. Now, there's a provision in there, right, that once this does, I mean, presuming it gets passed and becomes a law, that it kind of bypasses the FAA, right? It says it doesn't matter if the FAA issues a new rule or not. This is just the way it's going to be?
What they have said is, and I think this is in response to the last bill that Congress voted on that dealt with FAA policy, which was about the FAR Part 23 certification rules rewrite, where they passed it and they said, FAA, you have not done anything about changing your policies on Part 23 certification, so we're going to put legislation out that says this is what you will do. And the FAA came back and said, it's going to take us over a year to implement that policy, and thank you for the legislation, and the timeline just continues to drag out before it ever will get put in place. With this particular bill, they've come out and said, you have 180 days to change your policies, FAA, and at day 181, if you have not changed your policies, pilots can operate under this law, and you have no ability to enforce punitive actions against them. So it kind of de facto becomes the new policy.
Oh, okay. And I presume it's still the same as for a sport pilot. You can't be denied a medical, right?
It is. It's still the same. And that's one of the things I know I received that question last night from a friend saying it's unclear in there as to if I've had a third class medical with a special issuance, am I going to be qualified to take advantage of this list? So we've got some more clarification that's going to need to occur to answer those kinds of questions.
Okay. So do you have a sense, what are the chances that this is going to pass? Is it pretty much, you know, if something like this comes to the floor, are the votes there to make it happen?
I feel really optimistic that it will. But now, the thing we have to be are cautious about is there are other things in this bill besides just the third-class medical. We've had strong support, and nobody in Congress has kind of said, hey, we don't support or don't believe that third-class medical issue should not be addressed. But there are some liability issues in the bill regarding, for example, today, if I take a check ride with an FAA employee, they have no personal liability if down the road I get in an accident and name the person that gave the check ride responsible because he didn't adequately test my capabilities. Or I shouldn't say I sue him, but somebody else sues him. And yet the FAA delegates that responsibility to people to do those kinds of check rides, and they have personal liability because they're not government employees. So there's things in there like that are really more common sense changes in personal liability, some changes to the NOTAM system, some other good things in there. But when you read through it and you look at it, and obviously this has been, well, first of all, it was discussed with the last Congress, and it's now being issued by this new Congress. I don't think there's any major showstoppers in there that would cause a great debate on the House floor and derail it. So I feel very, very confident that it will get passed.
So what should listeners do? I mean, if our AvWeb readers are in favor of this legislation and they want to support it, how should they do that?
We had a very, very easy method to contact your elected officials by going to the EAA.org website. There's a link in there to reach out to, and it guides you through a method of putting in, you know, what state your zip code and identifies who your elected officials are, and it pre-sends to them a letter that says you support this and you're encouraging them to vote yes. I cannot encourage you enough to go do that. The way the system works back in Washington, our elected officials respond very, very favorably and pay a lot of attention to the in-basket from the constituents. So if we're loading up their in-basket saying, look, I put you in office and you need to pay attention to this and vote yes, it really can help, one, get their attention, but two, also allowing them to make sure they're representing their people who put them into office appropriately. So get out there and get to our website and get those letters off to your elected officials and show them that you mean business about wanting them to support this.
Okay, well, thanks. I think we covered it. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, other than this is very, very exciting. I think these types of hurdles, if we could knock them down and create more enthusiasm about aviation being fun and enjoyable and barriers to entry being easy, hopefully we can grow the industry that we love so much.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mary.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine. For more on aviation safety, log on to www.aviationsafetymagazine.com.